Hi, folks, and thanks for listening to this Echo Chamber podcast. I just want to give a little bit of context to the conversation you're about to listen to. Long-time listeners will remember Dr. Arslan Shahid and indeed Dr. Liga Urakman, who you're about to hear from, and their campaign to try and make sure medical professionals had their stamp for access to the visa to work fast-tracked, particularly during COVID when things were very difficult for our health service and the medics themselves were finding that they had to give so much of their time and lose so much of their time and as part of our immigration visa system. And indeed, they were advocating for medical professionals, but they also advocating for all migrant workers who were keeping the show on the road. Well, it turns out things have not gotten too much better because the right to family reunification has certainly not been extended to our migrant medical professionals. And you'll hear from a couple of doctors now whose situation is so bad, one who hasn't seen her own children in nearly 3.5 years, who was choosing to now leave Ireland, leave University Limerick Hospital, and another man who has not seen his children in over 2 years, who at one point was so upset that he couldn't continue the conversation. Our visa system is cruel. Don't listen to all these numpties who tell you about open borders and how easy it is to come here and set up here. It's all bullshit. These are the real voices of the real people who are keeping our health service running, and this is how our state is continuing to treat them. Sadly, I also have to ask you to help us keep the show on the road. If you like what we do, if you want to help us keep doing this type of work, please come on board. It's patreon.com/tortoiseshack. The link is at the top of the podcast. It's the price of a fancy cup of coffee to you, or a cheap pint nowadays. But to us, it is literally mics on, lights on, bills paid, and you're helping us carve out the bit of space we need to do to have these conversations and help with campaigns that are so important like this. Thanks to Dr. Lika and his colleagues for talking with us. But it would be really, really great if you could click the link while you're listening and come on board. Join us for the month of May. I promise you, it's the easiest bit of activism you can do. Enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. My name is Tony Groves, and Martin, we have covered the plight of people trying to deal with the housing crisis, but we've also continued to cover the plight of migrant workers. And we've seen the difference that obviously immigration has made to this country, how it enhances and enriches this country. And we saw it particularly around the COVID period when we had frontline workers from all corners of the globe keeping the show on the road. And we saw the difficulties, Martin, as you remember, of people trying to get a stamp for to make sure that they could maintain their worker status. And I know it was a campaign you were involved with myself and some of the people were joined with on this call.
It never seems to go away, Tony. It just never seems to go away.
No, and I think it's a really, this conversation is one I wish I wasn't having, but it's timely because it shows that the housing situation and our immigration system do discriminate. They discriminate. The immigration system discriminates against the people who are trying to help, and the housing system, the housing failures actually hits everybody. So look, with that in mind, I'm delighted to be joined by no fewer now than I think we have four doctors on the call at the currently, and for reasons that will become clear, we're going to give some people here anonymity because of difficulties that they've been having themselves, and you only have to you only have to look around to understand why that's the case. But I'm just going to do a quick overview. We're Dr. X, as we will be calling her is a working registrar in Limerick. We have consultant urologist Noam Nabi. We have our good friend Dr. Liga Urakman, who was involved in the Stamp 4 fast track process, which was a successful campaign to a large degree. And we have his friend Dr. Joseph. So, but I want to come to Dr. X first, if I could, Doc. Could you tell listeners, first of all, about your experience of when you arrived in Ireland and how the situation is now in terms of you and why you cannot still be reunited with your family?
Okay, hi. I'm a doctor working in Limerick Hospital at the moment as a registrar. And first of all, I want to say thank you to all of you to providing me an opportunity to express and to tell about the issues I'm facing regarding family visa. I'm facing this problem since 2 years. I came to Ireland in February 2022, and I came here, and after a few months, I applied for my just the youngest daughter visa, and it's now still I'm waiting for that. It's like in 2 years. I left them 2 years ago, and I'm still in the process of their visa processing. First, I got rejected after a whole year. I was keep on emailing them. I was keep on want to get like, you know, in touch with them, but no response, directly refusal after one whole year of applying visa. And then I went to solicitor and I went to through appeal now. So like, this is the whole situation. It's very depressed for me and as for my family as well. Like, I have just one question from Department of Justice. Why they are taking so much time in processing visa and appeals, and the time is around 12 to 18 months. And if I really understand, might be there's shortage of staff, then why they are not hiring people rather than just making us stress and, you know, depressed as well and keeping our families away from us? Like, why the critical skill workers, we are not getting equal opportunities, you know, as we were promised as per policies. It's very depressing situation, like, you know, and I think only the parents can feel these all these things. And at the end, I just want to say that I'm just going back to Pakistan for a few leaves, as my youngest daughter, she's not well, and she was 2.5 years old when I left her, and now she's 5 years old. Now it's 2.5 years. Like, I'm just going through all these things and for my other personal issues as well. But if I don't get anything in few weeks, then I have only one way to go back to Pakistan, and I will not come back, because it's really, you know, it's not easy for me to go ahead with without my family here.
And Dr. X, can I ask you, you have a young family.
So I have two sons and one daughter, and my youngest is now 5 years, and I'm like, literally, I'm really sorry, but I don't have any words to say now. Because like, I spend so much energy, my, you know, and my words in emailing them, and I express so much, like, you know, emotions, but they are not responding at the moment. I went through solicitor, I went to Dublin, I went everywhere, TDs, I went everywhere, like, you know, but I'm really sorry, but I didn't get any positive response.
And is there a realization on the part of the people that you're talking to that we need you in this country? We absolutely need you in this country. You know, you're filling a service in a hospital in a health service that's crumbling. We absolutely need you. Is there no sense of urgency? There is nobody who will say we can expedite this quickly. Nobody has said we can do this.
No, nobody. Like, nobody, like, everyone says, yes, we can, or like, we can email them. And every time I just get the response that this, your applications were processed at this time, and we are really sorry, we cannot expedite this process, and you have to wait, like, and literally at this time, I have no other option going back. So, like, and, you know, like, we as doctors, we just came from our countries to serve this country. We are paying taxes, we are following rules and regulations, we are doing everything that other people are doing here. But in a sense of in a case of like, for family, you know, like, it's very, like, disappointing. Like, people in Ireland, they're very nice. Like, I really want to stay here and serve, because I really feel very good. But in this sense, like, you know, like, now I'm getting less focus in my works, and that is not good for, you know, for my profession. So at the end, I just decided to, I'll just wait for a few weeks more, and I'll go back forever. And this is not only my story. Like, I have few of my friends, they are waiting for their children as well. And I really request of justice to please look upon this matter. We really need to get sorted out this, because this is making us very emotionally and psychologically weak, actually. And we are doctors, we should be strong, you know. We are working 24-hour shifts, we are serving people, and and I think so, like, but our children, our families are suffering a lot.
It's not alien to us as Irish people that you have missed two of the, or more than 2 years of very young child's life as a mother. I mean, it's not alien to us. We understand this. I mean, that's a huge price to pay to come and work in Ireland. It's a huge price to pay.
Like, and my last word to them was, I'm begging you, please respond and give me grant visa. But no risk.
Before we move on, I just want to point out that the laws, like, so if you were an EU citizen, obviously this would be, you know, well, you'd have the right to just come here. If you were seeking asylum and you were granted asylum, you could have the right to family reunification, which also doesn't really work too well. But then on this side, what this awful phrase, and it is an awful phrase, it's a dehumanizing phrase, this economic migrant phrase, there, you know, the rules and regulations are fairly clear. If you're earning like over €40,000, and I assume Dr. X, you're earning over €40,000 working all the hours God sends in a hospital in Limerick. It just shows you, unfortunately, the price you have to pay. And then, as Martin points out, the fact that we're probably going to lose you now to the Irish health system. And you've mentioned Limerick, and unfortunately, Limerick is suffering greatly at the moment, and it's very much in the headlines. If we could come to you, to Dr. Noman Nabi, please, if you could just explain a little bit about your own situation, because I know it was. Is it okay if I tell people that it was your post that went viral?
No, that's not me.
Oh, okay. Apologies. Well, we'll edit this out, part. We'll edit this out then. So
I'm just talking on behalf of, because I'm the president of the Association of Irish Pakistani Physicians and Surgeons in Ireland. That's why I joined you, Tony. And Lika is our general secretary as well.
Make Lika stop talking, Doc. But
no, Lika is above that. He's running other association as well. And his problem is that we just joined you regarding to this issue, because personally, we don't have any issues regarding to that. Personally, myself, I'm just came to help my and support my other colleagues and younger doctors. Mostly, they are suffering. They are having this issue. The people that came in this country 30 years before, they are Irish nationals. You know, their priorities are different. But these are the young crowd. They are coming and they have young families. And they have to wait for their visa 12 months, 2 years. And it's really frustrating, you know.
You're doing exactly as generations of Irish politicians and public figures have done. You're advocating for your own people in this country. We do that all over the world, all the time. All the time.
Yeah, and in the just a proud to be Irish, but this is a binding where you born it. Everybody does it. But Ireland is our home. It just because my kid born here, they're going to live forever. This is our home, and we wanted to do something good for our homeland. You know, it's just like a brain drain. People, they are coming and going, and it's absolutely frustrating. Already, health system is suffering.
And Noman, if I say that your mother refused in the past.
Oh, yes, I come to that story, Lika. That I was not Irish national at that time, 2015. I applied visit visa for my mom. And they refused it. Just everywhere is the same letter. They just paste it. And she never applied any visa for UK or somewhere else. But they said, oh, she applied visa for UK. And when I gave them explanation, nobody listened. And this is the problem. And I was afraid to apply again. Because it's really insulting in our culture if you can't invite your parents. And if you send an invitation and somebody refuses it, is really maybe they are saying that only daughter-in-law, she doesn't want it to come, the mother-in-law, you know, just to be a visit. That's the reason. Mm-hmm. And it's really bad, because being as an Irish national, no, even I think we have all the rights, but still we are afraid to apply. And it's not my story. Is I can tell you 100 people, they are just suffering. And it's not only doctors. There are nursing staff as well.
Yes, of course.
They are just waiting to join for their families as well. And healthcare workers.
Look,
and it's really a massive issue.
Can I say that from the outset? I, with all due respect to you all as doctors, I am, you know, with the greatest respect for what you do and how you help our health system. I also think the guy who works in Aldi and Lidl, who's helping, is doing his job, is just as valuable and has just as much to offer to this country as anybody else. So I want to be clear on that. I just think it's specific to medicine. And our health service that we're talking today, Lika, I see a nod in your head. You've seen this now as a struggle to get workers' rights. You've seen this as a struggle to get housing. Now you're seeing the struggle to family reunification. And I skipped one. The other one you've also seen is the inability to get training. Whereas, you know, we invite doctors here and then we skip over them because we don't allow them to apply for, to actually become consultants or to become, other master other arts and get promoted effectively. It all shows a kind of inbuilt discrimination of this in the system. Yes.
Thank you, Tony. I think that I have plenty to say, and you mentioned already that it's been 4 years that I have been digging out the cause and the root causes and the problems and trying to fix bit by bit. But if I fix little thing and then I find something else that is disturbing to the international doctors. So basically, it's very clear. There's no disrespect to any profession. Everyone is working hard. But the thing is that the world is a global village now. People have open borders. So their degrees, their skills, or their nationality. If they're coming here to Ireland, they're coming because of the good reputation of the Irish people and the Irish hospitality. So if they don't receive a warm welcome here, they move to somewhere else because they're skilled people. So it's the loss of the system. Just like Irish people, they go to Australia. If Australia doesn't treat them well, they go to somewhere else. So that's the thing that need to understand, first of all. Second thing is that whenever an international doctor decides to relocate to somewhere else, it is a big decision for them when they're leaving their country, their families. So they always come with a balance of family, social, and career stability in a country which provides these three things. So that's where I started my campaigns. First, career, to improve the career of international doctors, to get them equal training access, to provide this country a pool of skilled consultants. There's a huge shortage of consultants everywhere and is not being fulfilled. So that was my purpose, to strengthen the Irish health system. So thank God it's sorted. But the root cause is the immigration reforms. Half of the piece has been fixed, but this half, which is a family reunification, is a big thing. It is a shock. It is a psychological and emotional shock to the doctors who are working here. And I tell you what, last year when people started highlighting this, and I figured out that this is going to be a grave issue in coming, you know, months and year, I was invited as a stakeholder in a Department of Justice for the strategic planning in 2023 to 2026. Before that, I done a survey on healthcare workers, what are their problems regarding family reunification and the visa delays. And honestly, I found shocking results. The rejection rate is 70%. And yeah, 70% rejection rate. And on the top of it, you can imagine that majority are getting the same copy-paste generic refusal letter. It means they are not looked at the application.
Martin, you know all. Martin, you know all about this kind of bureaucracy where you just copy and paste the standard responses to people.
Yeah, it is. It's copy and paste, and you're dead right. They copy and paste everything. It's one brush tars all, really.
Exactly. So you know what? And then I highlighted this. So I told them, look, I'm here as a stakeholder. I feel very honored that you guys asked me what are the problems in as an international doctors community, And this is the biggest problem. It's going to be a biggest problem, and it will precipitate the staffing crisis in coming months, because after COVID, post COVID, the world needs a healthcare staff, skilled healthcare staff, and they will take and they will give them all what they want. And Ireland should not lose. And this will be the critical time post COVID. And I submitted my survey to them, and that day it was in November last year, and today no one even contacted after that. No one even say, okay, we are doing something for it. And I was being very soft, and I was telling, contacting people, taking the responses, painful stories, I tell you, that I cannot even tell here. That guy that I met him in Cavan. I'm in Cavan at the minute. I was doing some job here, and I met him. He was literally... he has been admitted 4 times in the last few years in the with the depression. Can you imagine that?
Do you feel that it was a box ticking exercise, and that just by having you present, they could tick that box and say we asked, but that there was nothing behind that?
Yeah, and today he couldn't join it because he has not emotional stability to join podcast today. He missed it.
That's absolutely understandable, and that's absolutely fine. But I just think I see, Noman, you're nodding your head, but I want to come back to Dr. X, if you don't mind. Your own housing situation when you arrived in Ireland, was how difficult was it to get accommodation, first of all?
Hello. I am Dr. Shiraz, and I am working as a pediatric registrar here in Cavan General Hospital.
Yeah.
So thank you for giving me the chance to speak. So actually, I came here with my family in Kilkenny, and my family with my 2 kids. One of my kid was around 2.5 years, and the little kid was just 9 months old. So when I relocated here in Cavan, I was unable to find my house for my family. So it was very harsh and difficult for me to send my family back to Pakistan, and I just living in a shared accommodation here, and I'm going through a psychotrauma for my little kids. And more difficult thing is my elder kid having autism spectrum disorder, and always I think of him, and this gave me a lot of pain. So I'm just thinking why this country is not thinking about the accommodation, and these still persons are suffering from these things.
And it's not a matter of money, doctor. Sure, it's not. It's actually they just simply cannot find the accommodation that will take a family. That's the problem.
Maybe I'm much emotional. Maybe, but I'm thinking maybe there is a problem here in the. This accommodation crisis, we should fix it.
It's okay. Take your time.
Thank you very much for giving me this chance to speak.
No, take your time, doctor. It's absolutely understandable that you'd be upset like that. I mean, I couldn't understand how to be separate from my family for a period of time like that. But it brings me back to Dr. X, if you're still with us. In terms of your housing situation, I'm right in saying you had difficulties finding adequate accommodation when you arrived as well.
So actually, my sister and my brother-in-law already doing rented. So at that time, I didn't find any housing problems. But then when they moved out, then I was living, and I definitely got these problems since 6 to 7 months. I could find a proper place to live because as a female, you know, we have our own preferences. And then finally, when I got just a room, and then I just, you know, the still I'm there, and I'm just moving out now. When I'm going back to Pakistan, so I already given the notice now, so I'm going back. Yeah,
that you've given your notice. It's very sad to hear that you've done that, and we'll be sorry to lose you. But it's also, I mean, Noman, if I could come to you on that, like the idea that we're now losing these people who are good, you know, as you can hear, that they're not just a number on a page. These are real families, real people who are affected. How long are you in Ireland now, and how long have you seen this?
I have been here last 10 years, since 2013. When I came in this country, to be very honest, I didn't have any difficulty to just to get the accommodation. I was lucky to find accommodation within 2 days before the arrival of my family. Because before I was living in Denmark, and before moving to Ireland, the main thing was moving to Ireland is about the family values in Ireland, and education and health system. And that was the main reason we moved from Denmark to Ireland. And Tony, are you with us?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, continue. Yeah.
But the housing crisis, we just seeing for the last 3-4 years, actually, they are getting worse. Before that, the doctors, they didn't have any difficulty, to be very honest, to find any accommodation, especially in Limerick. And I haven't seen such a trouble. But it's getting worse day by day. And it's very difficult even for the young doctors, because they say the rent is more than is going to be their average salary, is basic salary, if they are not going to do overtime or spend more time in hospital. And if they will not be able to pay the rent even, and they will be very hand to mouth. Mm-hmm. This is the reason is that. Another thing is, Tony, regarding to the family reunification visas, because our parents, even we became Irish, but our parents are still in back home in Pakistan. And they just would like to visit, would like to just invite our brother, sister, our parents. It's a cultural thing. They just want to know where, they just wanted to come. They wanted to know where we are living. They wanted to see in which we are just spending daily lives, you know, just to spend and to have celebrate their grandparents' birthdays. They are just come for special occasion. That's we only want it. And we can assure that they will go back. They are not going to stay or not going to be a burden in the society.
I want to remind listeners of Dr. Aslan Shahid, who couldn't get his mother-in-law over, because when his wife was pregnant, if you remember, Liga, because they said, oh, she'd be a burden, when it was not the case at all. A mother wants her mother with her when she's going to have a child. And that was the most natural thing in the world. And our system said no. And you know, there's a bit of cruelty in that.
I think there's a lack of humanity in it, Tony. We have two doctors on here who are going to return home because they can't see their families. Now we understand what it's like not to be able to see your family. We understand the hardship, and particularly when they're young families. And as the other doctor that's there with Lika said, he has a son who is autistic. You know the heartache that goes with that, Tony. Do you think that our system is just unworkable the way it is? Do you think it needs a major overhaul, and really, really quickly need a major overhaul? If I ask you, Lika, what do you think of that?
Yeah, I think that by working for the last 3-4 years, bringing some reforms, I feel like there's simple things that can be fixed. They need to set priority. That's the most important thing. They need to set priority. They need to see. And I always give them a solution. I always give them a solution, and very feasible solution, that this is my proposal. Make a communication better. First thing, make a communication better. Because communication channel is a major thing that can resolve the psychological and emotional trauma someone is suffering through. Because this is what we are told as a healthcare worker, to have an interaction with the patients, a communication. Because there's no communication channel that can give us some reassurance, number one. Number two is that priority they need to set up, and they need to help us. Just like we are helping the system, they need to help us. And these are the two major things. And the third thing is the audit. Because we are told that in our departments there, we always have a complaint cell. We always has a check and safety nets to do some audits to find out the root cause. I don't think so there's anything going on in the departments for us, on the immigrants. They need to find out a line that what they're going to do with us, being a healthcare workers, being any other skilled professionals. So they need to find out, they need to, the important thing is a complaint cell. This is a major thing, because if I tell you the vicious cycle that if you apply for a visa, the application is lost, you don't know where it is. After 10, 12 months, if you write to them that, oh, please, 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 can you have a look at my application, where it is? So you will get a refusal letter at home. And when you get a refusal letter at home, so there's only two options. You can reapply or you can go for appeal. There's no third option. There's no option that you can write a complaint to somebody that your visa officer who was picking up your application was handling it, whether he genuinely processed the application. There's no complaint civil. You can't write anything. So if you go for appeal, it will take another 2 years.
And do you have to employ a solicitor at that stage?
Oh, even if you employ a solicitor, you have to give them a lot of money.
Yeah, that's my point. This is something that's going to cost you money to do, which is just, again, the system. Like, there are, you keep hearing this nonsense, and I'm sorry to bring this to what's happening currently politically in Ireland, but you guys, look, everybody on this call, apart from myself and Martin, is brown, folks, right? But you guys have been watching, you know, this nonsense of this rise of the far right and this division of, you know, this ugly stuff that we've been watching. And part of the thing is to say, well, I've no problem when they come here and go through the legal channels. And here are people who come here and go through the legal channels and are still being treated really badly. Dr. Rex, can I get one final comment from you on that? Is it disheartening to see that you've done everything right, and yet the system did not help you to make a life here?
Absolutely. I have done everything. Like, I have also taken a letter from my supervisor as well. And she was so cooperative. She gave me a letter that kindly please issue the visa to her family. We need this doctor in our hospital. Like, she have written everything. And I submitted that as well. I went to solicitor. And I applied my family visas and appeals to solicitor now. I paid to my solicitor as well. I went to TDs. I did everything. But at end, I didn't get any positive response. I don't get any communication actually through email. So it's like it's zero response from them, like zero. I didn't get any positive. And I went through DDs and they always asked me the details of my, you know, applications, and they emailed them and then they replied the same email I'm getting since 2 years, that your application was submitted on this date and sorry, we cannot accelerate it because it is not fair for other people who already are in queues and all that. Okay, that's fine. Like, it's not fair for them, but actually you can just speed the process. Actually, I'm not saying to make unfair for people. Actually, I'm just saying to speed up the process.
I will say one word. Sorry for interrupting that, Dr. X. You know what? He says this give you a reply that it's not fair for the other applicants that we expedite yours and this and that. This is why I want the audit. I know some countries, they get a visa within a few weeks.
Within 6 weeks.
Okay.
I have a proof. And that's why I say, please do an audit and make us feel that we are lying.
Okay. We're not lying. I think that's a very reasonable demand. I think it's a very reasonable demand. And I think, Dr. X, I think you're... We won't say it's demand. We'll say a suggestion that they deal with this thing. They expedite these things quickly. I mean, the idea that you put to extra expense of legal fees as well as the very expensive rental market we have. If I could leave the last word, and I am very sorry, Mr. Consultant, I know Tony called you a doctor and I will correct him here and say, Mr. Consultant, I'm very sorry about that. You came here. You are as Irish as we are now. You live in this country. You're raising your kids here. You don't want to live anywhere else. You love this. You like it here. You like the people. You like the family orientation. You've told us all of this. Why and where do you think it has gone wrong with this generation? with this generation of doctors coming over trying to do the same?
I think it's all about communication. Is we are missing the channel, because we are not criticizing anyone. We are not against the system. We are trying to find a better way just to resolve and to sort out the problems of our young doctors. We are just here to park the problems. We just want to sit together. They have to take us on board. And regarding to where we went wrong, I think is just suddenly also the number, because 64% healthcare workers is a system, Irish system is run by non-Irish doctors. You will be surprised to hear.
No, it's a really important statistic.
There is
no Irish health system without non-national healthcare workers. That's the truth. And it's a very stark truth.
And that's the reason I think it just suddenly numbers increased and they were not ready for that. And that they are also having issues after the especially COVID effect badly in all the ways, all the departments. And we just wanted to sit with them and to find the solution. We wanted to help. We are here to help. That's the main reason is we just wanted to be treated equally as other nationals, at other nationalities, you know. Why we are getting so much refusal as compared to other parts of the world? That's what we wanted to, because mostly majority doctors, they are also coming from that part of the world. And they have to understand that. And because otherwise people they will just fly. They have a lot of other opportunities. They will go to UK, they will go to New Zealand, they were going to Australia. They are already moving. We are already having issues with our Irish doctors. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to be a devil's advocate. That's a brain drain. We have to stop our young kids, our Irish nationals, our Irish kids, just to fly abroad. That's the reason they are going. We have to stop that. And we have to make Ireland a better place for everyone.
And if I can give the last word to Dr. Leica, we'll say, as I know, Dr. Leica, you've also got experience of New Zealand as well, I think, in your past. So you can attest to the fact that, you know, when you have the skills, you can be mobile and leave.
That's very important. I think this is the last comment. The thing is that there's a legacy. So non-Irish doctors has been living in Ireland for the last 30, 40 years. And this is a big legacy. And this is what, at the medical college level, we have been told Ireland is a place for the hospitality, for the kindness, and to grow the kids, to grow the family over there. And it is near to the Middle East and all this stuff. So people make a calculated move and they come first here. So that's why we're told, like, the degree is a nationality nowadays. Skill is a nationality nowadays. So if they can come here and they get disappointed, so the backflow, the negative impression to the generation back to the other countries will force them not to decide to come here at first place, to go somewhere else. So this will be, a big, problem for a countries like this. So that's why I say, like, I'm fixing. We're trying to fix it. We're trying to help out. And the end point is that post-COVID, the demand is high everywhere. And we can't, stop people, to make their decisions, even the young generation that is coming. But we can always tell them, look, we are trying our best and we are having a hope. That's what we tell them. So,
thank you for your comments. Thank you for taking the time. And it's three doctors and a mister. Thank you very much indeed. And I would like to say, Liquid, to your companion there in the car, we really do feel for him. We really do. We do. We know how everybody in Ireland knows how difficult that is. We do. And to Dr. X, thank you. Again, we know how difficult it is. Small children, we've all been there. We all know this. Tony, let's hope that this helps in some way.
Martin, I'm reminded of one phrase that we've said on this podcast for years. The doctors have made it quite clear, and the consultant, Mister, have made it quite clear. They're not looking to rewrite the rules. They just want you to pull up another chair at the table so they can talk about what's happening to them. So if you want to sit around the table, you want to fix this, talk to the people who are experiencing it and know what's happening. And that was the call. So I would say to you, if you're listening to this, you know, be more mindful of how this is happening. And when you hear those arguments about immigration and economic migrants, oh my God, I hate that phrase, but nonetheless, if you hear those phrases, these are real people with real stories and real hardships. So please be more mindful of that. Do not dehumanize people. And thank you to all of you, and I mean the people on this call, all the doctors who have come here, made their lives here and helped us to keep the system going. So we really appreciate it. We will talk to you all soon, folks. Please, 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 please keep the faith and keep fighting for a better Ireland, because it is possible.
Tony and Martin, Martin and Tony, speaking to interesting people only. It's the Echo Chamber podcast. Subscribe now on Patreon.